This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact right here on Federal News Radio. I'm Alan Scott. And for those of you who may not be aware, Bloomberg Government is here, and we are the only information service provider in D.C. that focuses on the business impact of government actions. We've also partnered with our friends here at Federal News Radio to take that concept now to the airwaves every Thursday at 11 a.m. You want to find out more? It's simple. Just visit us online at bgov.com. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to dive into federal IT spending. Cuts are aplenty these days. In fact, the Defense Department may be required to cut another $500 billion over the next 10 years. That's billion with a B. But have no fear, because we've dug up a ton of Exhibit 53s. It's required by law. They have to be distributed. And they contain, well, a lot of money, just under $830 million to be found in those Exhibit 53s. BGov technology analyst Afzal Bari and Alan Holmes poured over all 7,200 reports, and they're going to join us a little bit later with the answers. But we're going to begin by bringing some focus to the world of defense contracting, specifically mergers and acquisitions. In the contracting community, you know that the looming fight for federal dollars is here. And we'll talk about sequestration and a whole bunch more with Lauren Duggan, our congressional analyst here. But these companies that we're talking about are not just your run-of-the-mill companies. These are top players in federal contracting. And to join me to discuss this a little bit more is someone who is no stranger to that space. She's a financial analyst with an eye towards the defense industry. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sopan Shah to the program. Sopan.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
No problem. Our
inaugural show. Are you excited?
I'm so excited.
I, too, am excited because we're talking about a topic that is near and dear to your heart and mergers and acquisitions. You've put together a lot of stuff about it. I know part one of a study that you've created is out there. You're working on a follow-up right now. Given that the life of the government contractor can be up and down, especially these days with the budget the way it is, that organic growth is pretty much not there at this point. So with that in mind, where are we going? How does the contractor workspace look at this point with regard to M&As?
Well, with organic growth prospects sort of dire or dim in the coming years, you know, our analysis shows that federal discretionary spending could drop by up to 14% by fiscal year 2014 if the sequester occurs. Contractors are realizing that mergers and acquisitions may be one of the only ways they can grow in this environment. So we expect a very robust environment for M&A in 2012. And 2011 was an increase in the number of transactions that occurred in the government contracting space, up from 2010 and 2009, which was a global low for mergers and acquisitions within the defense and contracting industry.
Would you say that the almighty dollar is what's forcing contractors now, driving them to acquire?
Definitely.
Yeah.
The contractors, for the most part, want to acquire firms that have a niche technology or a proprietary skill set that will give them the competitive edge as the competition for federal dollars grows more intense.
Mm-hmm. So how are these trends affecting mergers and acquisitions at this point? I mean, you're talking about things dropping in 2014. What was it, 16% by fiscal year 2014, the discretionary budget may decline. How are these trends affecting these mergers and acquisitions?
They're definitely driving decisions. So these contractors will look for subsectors within the federal budget where growth is likely or more likely than growth is for the overall budget, right? Mm-hmm. Those areas include cybersecurity, health information technology, intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, data analytics, those sorts of very specific carved out areas. And larger companies think, if I acquire a firm that plays in that area or is well positioned there, I can grab a piece of that growth in order to offset some of the revenue losses that I may have in other areas of my business.
Cybersecurity, taking a look at the study that you've put together, Growth Despite Uncertainty, Mergers and Acquisitions in Government Services in 2012, which can be found on Bloomberg Government. Cybersecurity growth here, about $3.8 billion in federal spending in fiscal year 2011. Modest increases, DOD and intelligence community release new policies. There's money to be found in the federal IT space at this point.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And cybersecurity, it's a hot topic. It's been getting a lot of media attention. As you've said, you know, over $3.5 billion was spent on it in fiscal year 2011. We are coming out, Bloomberg Government is coming out with a study that shows that the expectations for growth around cybersecurity may be a little bit more muted from our perspective than some of the other numbers that people may have heard out there. Nevertheless, there's a lot of activity at the Department of Defense, in the intelligence community, these new policies that will, we think, drive growth over the next few years.
Tell me about, and I'm doing the air quotes here for those of you who can't see me, tell me about smart power.
Right. So for those of you who aren't familiar with what this means, it's sort of the development arm or branch of the U.S. government. So as the U.S. redefines its military posture, we think that smart power will be the way the U.S. interacts with a lot of these other countries. So promoting international security, helping these local economies develop, grow their educational systems, we think that could be a growth area for contractors going forward. Again, to sort of offset the defense revenue that won't be there any longer once these two conflicts are finished.
We're speaking to Soap and Shaw here on Federal News Radio. This is Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact. I'm Alan Scott. Soapin has written a study. It's called Growth Despite Uncertainty, M&A in Government Services in 2012. And I know that you're working on a follow-up. I won't pin you down and ask you when that follow-up will be due, but can you give us any insight into what you've gleaned thus far?
Sure. So this next part will focus on companies that are on a specific type of contracts. So they're called multiple award contracts, in which the government will award initially the contract to multiple firms and then assign or have competitions for specific task orders or, you know, jobs with very specific definitions under that contract. And the government is increasingly using these in order to do business with industry. And there are a few multiple award contracts that have high ceilings, so, you know, billions and billions of dollars in spending over the next few years. And contractors have been acquiring smaller companies or peers even that are on these contracts in order to enter that competition, to be able to win those billions of dollars of work. So our team in my study is looking specifically at companies that are well positioned on those very lucrative contracts as potential targets for some of the prime contractors going forward.
All right. All right. It sounds exciting. Like I said, I'm not gonna nail you down on when something like that'll be released, but looking forward to reading it when it does finally hit the website.
Definitely. We're excited to have it out there.
Now, the ultimate goal of the M&A process, of course, is to generate revenue for all parties involved. Revenue for goods, basically.
Exactly.
It's the American way, right? Unfortunately, that may be drying up in some areas. And Leon Panetta said, quote, "Even though I think all of us believe this will not happen, we still have to take that precaution." He goes on to say that the shadow of sequestration is here. Sequestration. Sequestration. Four-syllable word. Someone who knows all about it and more is Lauren Duggan. He's a congressional and budget analyst with BGov. Joins us here in the conversation. Hey, Lauren, how are you?
Very well, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us here on Capital Impact. Now, based on the president's fiscal 2013 submissions, the appropriations fight is probably going to be a little rocky.
It will be. It has been the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's frequently missing its targets and going much longer than anybody anticipates.
What do you think the end result will be? Or where are we going to end up?
I think we're going to have a long year of waiting more than anything. It's an election year. Many of the big decisions, which include the appropriations process, but also things like what to do about the Bush tax cuts, what to do about sequestration, what to do about other expiring programs, a lot of that's going to get pushed till after the November election, when we'll have a better idea who the president and Congress are going to be, obviously, for next year.
Right.
And then the members, some of whom will have lost their seats voluntarily or involuntarily, will come back and try to tackle some of these issues.
What or how will sequestration play a part in this? When we talk about sequestration, for those who may not be aware, why don't you inform us and tell us what role it plays in this whole process?
Right. Well, sequestration is coming unless Congress does something to stop it. And sequestration, for those who don't remember, last August, the country was running up against its debt limit. And Congress and the administration went almost to the wire trying to figure out what sort of deal they could work out to both raise the debt limit and get control of federal spending over the next 10 years. One of the things they did was create the super committee, which was a panel of 6 members of the House, 6 members of the Senate. They got in a room and tried to hammer out an agreement to get serious deficit reduction done. In the end, they couldn't do that. And the penalty for not doing that were these automatic cuts that start to take effect next year. Sequestration is one facet of it. I think it's being used to describe everything that's coming.
Right.
But that's what scares people the most. And what sequestration is an across-the-board reduction of money that Congress puts out there. So Congress could spend all year writing these bills, and then January 13th, this blunt instrument comes in and starts taking money out of what they've already put out there.
Right.
So for the Defense Department, they're looking at a $55 billion hit next January unless Congress does something to stop it.
Reductions range from 10% in fiscal 2013 to 8.5% in 2021. We're talking about defense discretionary spending at that point, $454 million.
Billion.
Excuse me. That's
yes.
Right. Billion with a B. It's numbers that I'll never see in my entire life.
Right.
But that's okay.
it's a lot of money. I mean, the Defense Department's budget tends to be in the $550 billion range. So $55 billion cut, that's 10%.
Yeah.
And because it's automatic and across the board in a lot of cases, it's more of a blunt instrument than a scalpel. It's not like you're going in there and carving out little amounts.
I mentioned it kind of at the open here. The Defense Department may be required by late summer to start planning for an additional $500 billion of cuts over 10 years if they don't roll back those automatic reductions.
Right.
This on top of the $490 billion from its budget over the 10 years that's already begun.
Right.
Now, what about specific programs, right? So we've talked about this blunt instrument that would affect the Department of Defense and other agencies. Do you see certain programs within defense or outside being particularly contentious in this budget fight with or without sequester?
Well, I mean, the budget's always contentious because the administration has its priorities. Congress has its priorities. When you're already dealing with a smaller pool of money, people are going to fight even harder. The administration has already said it wants $18 billion in weapons cuts, for example, in the Defense Department. And that could be contentious because there's a lot of contractors who rely on that money coming. Now, Republicans and Democrats have agreed over the years that maybe the department's not spending the money the right way in certain programs, and they've agreed there. But it's easy to see them getting involved in disputes over whether we should cut this weapon system or that weapon system. And the appropriations fight is happening with sequestration hanging over it, but that's its own unique mm-hmm. battle. And one of the things that's shaping up there is that the House and the Senate are working with different numbers as a starting point, because each one has a total pool of money that they then divide among 12 appropriations bills, which are the bills that give the agencies and departments their budgets for the year, the amount of money they can spend. If you're working with different numbers to start with, then every little decision underneath that becomes a fight almost. Now, defense, sometimes it's easier to come to an agreement on the overall number, and then they're kind of fighting on little things in the smaller subaccounts and accounts. But it remains to be seen, really, what's going to happen this year with that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And we may start to get an indication this week because there's sequestration, there's appropriations, and then there's the defense authorization bill. And that's the bill that sets policy for the year and gives a broad framework to how much money Congress can then come in and give. The fights that are shaping up there is that there's definitely fights shaping up there as well, because some of the things that Leon Panetta worked on and the administration set up in the budget, the authorization committee is not going to like. So they're going to tinker at the margins there as well. So the administration is going to be working with Congress on the authorization bill, broad policy, the appropriations bill, which is the actual amount of money they're going to get, and then this sequestration question that's out there. So it's a busy year, and that's just defense. You know, this is happening in a lot of other agencies too, and departments.
I was just about to say that. Right. I mean, we're really kind of focusing just on defense at this point, but defense is something that everybody sees. It's a visible mm-hmm. part. It's the way we protect ourselves at this point.
And the industry is very vocal. The sheer amount of dollars that's spent there. Lockheed Martin, other top executives have all mentioned the concept of sequester in earnings calls, and the Aerospace Industries Association has come out with many perspectives on the job losses that would occur if the defense industry loses X billion dollars in the coming years. So they're loud and they're definitely out there talking.
And it's a nationwide thing, too, because as we had a BGov study a few months ago on the state-by-state impact of defense spending shows, every state has some connection to the defense industry, whether it's you have a big base or you have contractors there that are working on a weapon system or helping to deliver something to the military. So it's a nationwide thing. It's got a broad constituency. It's that's why it's such an important issue.
A fight that will be going on for the remainder of the year. And I know, Lauren, you will come back at some point and bring us up to date.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Lauren Duggan and Sopan Shah from Bloomberg Government Capital Impact. I'm Alan Scott with a simple question for you. Just a simple question. Are you looking for some federal IT dollars? Anybody? Yeah, we're all aware of the shrinkage identified in the federal IT budget. But wait, there's still money out there being spent. In fact, we got a team of data weasels out there that's actually found where that money is going. And who knows, it may benefit you. You just have to know where to look. So to help us plot that course, we've got Afzal Bari and Alan Holmes, writer and editor of a newly released BGov study. Exhibit 53's reveal federal IT contract opportunities. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alan. Hey, anytime. So for starters, because I asked a few people who may not necessarily be in the know about, especially government contracting and documents themselves, let's back up. Tell us about Exhibit 53s. What are they?
Sure. So every year when the president requests his budget, the Office of Management and Budget also comes out with a document that looks at federal IT spending across all the federal agencies. And it looks at how much was spent in this case, in 2011, how much Congress actually appropriated in 2012, and in this year, how much the president's budgeting for 2013.
And that document will also include previous year's budget, so you can kind of see the trending at the same time?
Exactly.
Okay. So as you poured through the 7,200 or so documents, what did you find?
So that document had 7,200 investments, as you mentioned.
Right.
And one of the things that we found was that there are certain agencies that are actually seeing increases in IT spending, others that will see decreases, notably Department of Defense. And among the agencies that are going to go up, Treasury and VA are some of the bigger ones.
So walk me through the study itself. Exhibit 53 is reveal federal IT contract opportunities. It's still warm. It's fresh off the website here. So walk us through it.
Sure. Yeah. So one of the things that we did was actually look at which investments are brand new. And we defined brand new investments by ones that hadn't received money in 2011, didn't receive any sort of budget for money in 2012, but we're going to be getting some money in 2013. And among those, probably the biggest is the IRS. They have a project where they are trying to make some system changes to comply with the healthcare law that passed in 2010. And they asked for the same money last year. They didn't get it. And it's about $303.5 million that they're looking to spend to comply with those system changes.
They're working with a lot of different contractors on that as well. Some big names, little names, people like Carlyle Group, Booz Hamilton. No little mom and pop shops on this list.
For the most part, they said that they're going to pull it from their TIPS 4, so it's a contract vehicle that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, there are large companies there. There are a few small companies there as well, but they have specifically said that they're going to pull those healthcare contracts from TIPS 4.
Tell us about, we know all about the defense cuts that are going on all over. Tell us about what the military may be getting into these days.
Yeah, so overall defense is down, but there are a few new projects and a few projects that are seeing major increases. So, for example, Navy's Next Gen is seeing an increase of $266 million in the president's budget. And the Army also has a project which is trying to integrate all their HR systems.
Mm-hmm.
Right now they have lots of HR systems, and they're trying to pull that into one comprehensive integrated personnel and pay system, and that's seeing an increase of $91 million over what was appropriated last year.
We're speaking with Afzal Bari and Alan Holmes, writer and editor, respectively, of BGov's study. Exhibit 53s reveal federal IT contract opportunities. Alan, this is based off of the president's budget itself. These are recommendations that he has made.
Right.
Just because it's the president, do they have to listen?
Well, this is probably one of the more interesting points of the study that I found is that, working with Afzal on this, is that typically when you have a divided government, one party in control of Congress, another party in control of the White House, you hear dead on arrival is the budget. That's the term you hear. Mm-hmm. Well, what Afzal found is that actually a lot of these requests go through, and some get more money. We had 63% received as much or more, and then you had another 10% that received at least 90% of the funding. So you're getting close to three-quarters of these requests are getting the money that the president asked for. That was pretty surprising.
Just answered my question. I was about to say, is that unheard of?
Well, I don't think anybody ever looked at it that hard. Right. I don't know if it was unheard of, but at least the common wisdom was that it was dead on arrival. Some people believe that because these projects tend to be so complicated that Congress say, well, we'll just let it go through. So that's another school of thought. But it looks like, the budget means something, actually, when it comes to IT.
Sorry, it's so complicated. They just let it go through. That made me chuckle. I apologize. The president put together something that, for the most part, with regard to federal IT spending, they did let a lot of the elements slide through. So it's not necessarily because he's the president. It's just because, it's probably a good idea or it's too complicated.
Right.
There's also a lot of work that goes into creating these budget documents and all the agencies. So I think part of it is Congress has only so much mind share to be able to look into that. So.
I get it. Guys, what's looming in the future? Exhibit, what's next for you guys?
So there are a couple of things that we're working on. One is looking a little bit closer agency by agency. Mm-hmm. So if you think about this study, it was much more of what are the increases and what are the new opportunities. Really, we're going to take a different lens and say, if you are the IRS, mm-hmm. what are the contracts that are going up? What are the contracts that are going down? Who are the top vendors? Things like that. So it's really an agency by agency look at federal IT. Mixing the budget information in there, as well as Bloomberg government has some contracting data that we've included in there as well.
Will you come back and discuss it when it's ready?
Absolutely.
Sounds good. Alan, Afzal, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The study is called Exhibit 53's Reveal Federal IT Contract Opportunities. You can find it right there on bgov.com. And that just about does it for us here at Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio. Just a reminder, you can learn more about BGov's award-winning analysis tools and data all at www.bgov.com. Earlier in the program, we spoke to Sopin Shaw and Lauren Duggan. Lauren, of course, is our congressional guru analyst at BGov, and Sopin Shaw, financial analyst with an eye towards the defense industry. Her study, Growth Despite Uncertainty, Mergers and Acquisitions in Government Services in 2012, can be found on BGov.com, along with all of our award-winning content. Just log on to BGov.com. That's BGOV.com. If you're a social media type, you can follow us on Twitter at BloombergGov. That's at BloombergGov. What do you say we regroup next Thursday? Let's say around 11 a.m. We'll talk more about the business impact of government actions. For BGov's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio, I'm Alan Scott.